A production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
Yeah, well, this is Harlan Barada Nikto saying to Gort Klaatu, "Yo mama, purple-skinned alien, homo stupidus, that's us. Word up, we're going to be around a while." You have been listening to Sentience Today. It was narrated by Phil Proctor and it was written by Yuri Rasovsky. And just to prove unquestionably that you bet your damn Skippy we're a bunch of clever little mice, take as our next offering an idle conceit just thrown off in a spare moment by one Mr. Robert Silverberg, a perfectly average human being no lesser or greater than any one of you. And if a Bob Q average citizen could create the mesmerizing drama that follows, containing as it does one of the most original fictional concepts you've ever encountered, then how much more dazzling and worthy would Gort Klaatu perceive the human race to be if he met one of our genuinely top people, say, Pauly Shore, or the guy who thought up double glops of white gunk in the Oreo cookie? I mean, think about that. Just think on that as you marvel to the Robert Silverberg story, A Sleep and a Forgetting.
At 2 a.m.
Joe? Joe Headley?
Well, how are you?
Oh, God, that figures.
How long has it been? 5 years?
3 years. He came through town 3 years ago. He was on his own weird schedule then, too.
Look, Joe, I've got classes, but, hey, I'm department head here. Rank hath its...
Mike.
Yeah, just a minute. Hey, he wants me to fly down to San Diego this morning to help him with a project, all expenses paid.
Well, that's rather sudden.
Well, that's Joe.
What kind of project?
It's a good question. Joe, I'm interested, but, what... Oh. It's classified.
Then how can he use you, your college professor, Mike, not a spook?
Look, I see. He says he's taking a bit of a risk, but trusts me because we're old friends.
Good for Joe. Tell him that friends don't call old friends in the middle of the night and demand that they fly off.
I know. Joe, look, I need something to go on. I mean, I'm a sinologist. I know dead, dull Asian languages. I don't get hauled off in the middle of the night for some classified high-tech... What? What'd you say?
Well, what did he say?
Oh, I see. Oh, that's intriguing.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me get this.
All right. It's U.S. Air Terminal, SeaTac. Okay, man. I'll be there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're going.
You know, I think I have to.
Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I just think you need a good reason. So what did Joe say about his classified project? Why do they need you?
Well, he only gave me one word.
Oh. And that explained everything?
No, it, intrigued me.
Well, darling, let me be intrigued, too. What was the word?
Channeling.
Oh, wow.
See you.
Oh, you're looking working at.
Pretty bad, I know. It's the schedule. Carlie Beckman, meet Dr. Harold Michelson.
Yeah, Mike. Mike. Hello,
nice
Carlie.
To meet you, Mike.
She's a member of the team.
Well, today I play chauffeur. I'll meet you with the car.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. Is everyone on your team that good looking?
Huh? Oh, you mean Carlie?
I don't know. I didn't notice. Man, you've been working too hard. Still, no personal life, eh?
No time, Mike. I'm consumed by the 24-hour information world.
No, that's too bad. Human beings weren't meant to operate on a schedule like that. We need sleep, among other things.
Yeah.
You might need the Carly.
I do need Carly for the project.
Yeah. Your secret channeling deal, huh?
Please, discretion. We're in a public place.
Ooh. Are there Chinese agents working with microphones?
I doubt it. I just don't want people to think we're a couple of middle-aged, new-age wackos.
Hey, you were the one who mentioned channeling.
Yeah, only because I knew it was sure to get your attention. You always had a weakness to stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I get the feeling, as usual, I'm being insulted.
Oh, come on, Mike. Come on. How long have we known each other? Since kindergarten? Are we not the very same people we were then?
Yeah, well, I've gotten taller.
Go ahead, rub it in.
So, I'm not going to be talking to dead people.
Not quite. At least, not like a seance or anything like that. It's really hard to explain. Huh? I need to show you.
Yeah? Where?
Up at the lab.
So when do I check into that fabulous hotel you promised me?
After the lab.
Same old Joe. All business.
Oh, there she is. Come on. Times are wasting.
I'll get the door.
Here we are. Better thank them.
Hey, can I keep one of these badges?
No.
Well, at least you got a window.
I do? Huh? Oh, yeah.
Come on, Joe. I know we grew up in California, but we still ought to appreciate how wonderful a day in February can be. Look at that yellow hibiscus.
There's some billowing bougainvillea, too, Doctor.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Carly.
Mike, it was 40 degrees and raining when you left Seattle. Anything dry and warm looks like heaven to you.
Maybe. So, this is where I'm going to be channeling?
This is where you are going to be part of a, let's call it a unique communications link, yes?
Whatever.
And what you do is you put on this helmet, and you speak into this very expensive microphone here. The helmet is just for acoustic reasons. We have a terrible signal-to-noise ratio on this link.
Actually, it's more like a noise-to-signal ratio.
Well, anyway, we've got a Cray running a digital selector to filter it out.
Well, I'm going to assume that's important, yet somehow reassuring.
Oh, that's right. You never were much of a guy for electronics.
I am proud to say my VCR will be flashing 12 beyond the year 4000.
Don't worry. Carly and I will be able to monitor the link, too, but you're the one doing the talking.
Fine. But to whom?
Well, that's what we were hoping you would tell us.
Just for my information, how much microwave radiation is going to be shooting through my brain?
Oh, come on. Now you're being paranoid. Would I ever ask you to do anything that could harm you?
You mean other than light that Estes rocket for you now or drink that soda you cooked
All
up?
All right, okay. That was then. This is now.
All right. So, how do I put this on?
Ear to ear over the top of your head.
I'll adjust the electrodes for you.
And you won't tell me what I'm supposed to expect.
I want an uncontaminated response. That's science talk, Mike. I really am a scientist. You know that, don't you?
So, that's what you were doing all these years. I was wondering.
How does it fit?
Like a glove.
You always wear gloves on your head.
You must be pretty nervous if you think that's funny.
Yes, I am. And you must be nervous, too, if you take a line like that seriously. I promise you, you won't get hurt.
All right, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. And we need to check the impedances, and then we can get going.
I wish I understood the least bit about...
Please? All right, Carly, he's hooked up. How do you feel, Mike?
Like I'm in the dentist chair, waiting for the scraping and poking to begin.
All right, we're ready to go. Good luck, Mike.
Joe, what is this?
That's the voice. Do you recognize anything?
It sounds as though he said the word for today in
Kalka. Ancient Mongolian.
That's what we were hoping. Anything else?
On the water.
Huh?
Today on the water. Hey, Joe, I can't be sure. Maybe my ears and brain just, you know, rearrange the sounds into a pattern I would recognize.
Keep listening and talk back if you can.
All right, all right. Father sent me. Go on. Your father sent you where? Kana. Tell me where. On the water. Yes. To his elder brother. Yes. Yes. I can hear you and understand you. But there's a lot of... there's a lot of noise. Say everything three times, and I will try to follow.
Mike, what happened?
It's gone dead.
You sure?
Joe, I don't hear anything more.
The relay satellite must have passed around the far side of the sun. We won't get anything more for hours if it has.
Relay satellite? Joe, where the hell was that broadcast coming from?
Now listen, first tell me, were you actually able to understand what he was saying?
Yes. What little there was.
I knew you would. And he was speaking Mongolian?
Yes, yes, Mongolian, the main Mongolian dialect.
I knew it. I knew you would understand him. I got somebody from the Komp-Linguistics Department here, Dave Malmstrom.
Dave, yeah, I know him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's good. But the best he could do was tell me it was some Altaic language, maybe Turkic, maybe Mongolian. And that's what made me think of you.
All right, I'm flattered and I'm still confused.
And this Kalka is the language they speak in Mongolia to this day?
Not the way this guy was using it. He sounded stiff, archaic.
Archaic?
Well, it had that feel, something, you know, formal and old-fashioned, like an English speaker using thee and thou. And Joe, are you all right? You look pale.
No, I'm fine. It's... Well, you have no idea.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. What is this all about?
Mike, this is going to take some explaining. Yeah. Let's go get some dinner.
Well, I think this is the first time we've gone out alone in, I don't know, what, 10 years?
Well, what about the time I came to Seattle?
Come on, Joe, we never went out. Elaine cooked.
All right. How is Elaine?
I won't tell her it took you 10 hours to get around to asking.
I'm sorry.
I don't apologize. That's you. This place is expensive as it looks?
More. If anyone asked you, there were 6 of us at this dinner we ate at Denny's.
How do you like the Cabernet?
It was good.
You were about to tell me how you got... talking to the voice.
Oh, that was pure serendipity. You know, the art of finding what you're not looking for.
Digging for worms and striking gold. I'm familiar with the concept, you know.
Yeah, well, we were trying to clear up some problems with radio transmission from the Icarus satellite. That's the one...
that the French and Japanese put in orbit between the Sun and Mercury.
See, you know, I read newspapers, too.
I'm sorry. We were fiddling with this and fiddling with that, sending out an assortment of test signals at a lot of different frequencies when, out of nowhere, we got this voice coming back at us. It was speaking a strange language, turned out to be Chaucerian English.
Which turned out to be some kind of academic prank?
No. Will you let me tell it, please?
Huh? I am giving you to the bottom of this glass.
Fine. Anyway, you listen to this guy.
Yeah, Geoffrey Chaucer.
Whoever. And we gradually figured out what he was saying. So we called in this graduate student from UCSD who confirmed it. 13th century English, which absolutely knocked us on our butts.
Would you gentlemen like coffee or dessert?
No.
Yes. I'll sneak a peek at that dessert tray and let you know if you don't mind.
All right.
before we even figured out what was going on. The Englishman was gone, and we were picking up some young woman making a speech in medieval French. Mm-hmm. Like we were getting a broadcast directly from Joan of Arc, you know? Not that I'm suggesting that's who it was.
Hell no, of course not. I mean, that might sound silly.
Be like that. Go ahead. We had this girl for half an hour, a minute here, a minute there, with all the damned interference, and then we got a solar flare that disrupted communications, and when we got things turned on again, we got a quick burst that would turn out to be Arabic. And then someone else talking in Middle English. And then last week, this absolutely incomprehensible stuff that Malmstrom guessed was Mongolian, and you have now confirmed. And this Mongol stayed on the line longer than the others combined.
I don't need more coffee. I need more wine.
I don't blame you, Mike. It's made us all a little crazy. The best we can explain is this. Our beam passes through the sun, which, as I think you know, even though your specialty happens to be Chinese history, not physics, is a place where the extreme concentration of mass creates some unusual stresses on the fabric of the continuum. And some kind of relativistic force warps the hell out of it so that the solar field sends our signal kicking off God knows where.
I give up. Where?
In this case, the Middle Ages. It's like we've got a direct phone line to the Middle Ages.
Ooh, good. I was afraid it was going to be something silly, like channeling.
Hey, it sounded crazy to us at first.
Okay, Joe. Just for the sake of argument, I'll buy the idea that your machine gives you a direct line to the 13th century or whatever. How long before the Defense Department hears that you've been having girl talk with Joan of Arc and pulls the plug?
Have another drink. Will you quit thinking like a college professor and try to remember what the real world is like?
Real world? You think that as a certifiable workaholic burrowing in government bureaucracy, you know anything about the real world?
I know that I'm involved in something important, something that could profoundly change this real world.
And is that to say that what I do is not important?
Oh, gee, are you touchy? Why are you so goddamn touchy?
Because everything you say, the way you say everything seems to elevate you and denigrate me.
Mike! Come on, Mike. Come on, you're projecting.
Yeah, maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
If I thought as little of you as you think I do, I wouldn't have asked you to come here. You know me, I'm a bull in a china shop. But will you just forget it? It's small potatoes.
Not to my self-esteem, it isn't.
Can't your self-esteem get behind helping me change the world? Let's you and me change the world, Mike.
Yeah, so how is tea time with Chaucer going to change the world, Joe? How are you going to get defense behind that, huh?
What about George Washington, huh? I go into the DOD and show them they can chat with old George himself. They will kiss our butts. All it has to be is real.
And, and the military significance of such conversation is,
Use your imagination.
Yeah, well, I am thinking of a 4-star general's imagination.
What if we can change the past? Huh? Call up FDR and nip World War II in the bud. Stop all war forever.
Oh, and then these guys are going to go for something that puts them out of work?
All I'm saying is that there is potential here. We don't know what it is yet because we don't know exactly what we're dealing with. And that's what I need you to help me find out.
What, by listening to this Mongol?
Yeah. Mike, who is he? What can he tell us?
I guess we'll just have to ask him in the morning, okay?
In my view, there's no time like the present.
Oh, Joe, come on. It's 10:30.
It's a 24-hour information world.
I know.
Hey, I'll make a tech guy out of you, yeah. Oh.
Here's the helmet, Mike.
Thank you. Harley. You know, I know Joe is a fanatic. He's even a maniac, but you seem normal. Why do you put up with this stuff? I mean, can't you do science and engineering on a human schedule?
Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't.
You've been hanging around with Joe too much.
I wish. Oh, sorry.
Now, your secret is safe with me.
Thank you.
Hey, you haven't got your helmet on. Carly, what's the problem?
Just a momentary delay, Doctor.
She's doing fine, Joe. All of them are doing fine. It's a good thing they don't have a union.
We're not here because we want to be, Mike. It's orbital geometry. We'll have uplink to the Icarus signal in 43 minutes.
Then what was the rush? I think I left half a glass at the restaurant.
Well, now that you know what we're doing, I thought you might like to hear some of the tapes.
Do I have any choice?
I guess not.
Her accent is terrible. What's she saying?
It's too fragmentary to add up to much. We think she's praying. May the king live. May God strengthen my arm. Stuff like that. We haven't gotten more than a few minutes total coherent verbal output from any of them, usually a lot less, except for the Mongol, who goes on and on like a salesman you can't get off the phone.
Well, I mean, does it work like a phone? Can they hear there what I say here?
We don't know. By the time we get them deciphered, we've lost contact. But it's got to be a two-way signal. They must be getting something from us because we get their attention and they do talk back.
But I mean, they don't have helmets on their end.
The helmet is just for your benefit, Mike. The actual Icarus signal comes to us digitally. The helmet is the interface between our computer and your ears.
Joe, medieval people don't have computers either.
Obviously not. Maybe it comes to them like a voice from the sky or an echo inside their skulls, but they hear us.
I still don't understand how.
Well, when you come right down to it, neither do we. But remember this. You asked the Mongol a question, and he answered. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
And what did you ask him?
He said his father sent him somewhere. I asked him where, and he said, on the water to visit his elder brother.
He answered you right away?
Yes.
You see? That's another thing we don't understand. The Icarus satellite is 93 million miles away. The signal takes 8 minutes to reach us. You follow? So if you ask the Mongol something, it should take 8 minutes for the signal to reach him and eight more for the answer to reach you.
Yeah. And does that include travel time to the 13th century?
I will ignore that. Except as an added bit of evidence that we're dealing with a kind of physics we don't fully understand. A real-time conversation should be impossible, but you had one. And you want to have another one.
Well, it's tempting. Oh. I also want some sleep. Oh, Lord, it's 1 a.m. I haven't been up this late in 10 years.
And you say my life is pathetic. At least I'm doing something new, not...
Not living off the past.
Sorry, I am sorry. It sounds kind of mean when you put it like that.
Yeah, mean, but true.
We have acquisition of signal.
Mike, it's your call. Go to bed, or make history.
Well, if little Icarus can swim through all that inconceivable heat and radiation and beam these improbable things at my head, I guess I can stay up past my bedtime and listen. Help me with the damn helmet. Yeah. Hello, my friend.
Where are you? You voice. You speak to me.
Here I am. Can you hear me?
Voice? What are you? Are you mortal? Or are you a prince of the master?
Which master? What prince?
There is only one master. I am his servant. The Angelos are his princes. Are you an Angelos voice?
Angelos? That is a Greek word. Why does a Mongol ask me if I am an angel?
Only an angel would speak to me this way.
I am not an angel.
I don't understand.
It's kind of... It is by the grace of heaven on high. I'm speaking to you from far away.
How far?
Tell me where you are. No, again, where are you?
Nova Roma, Constantinopolis.
Byzantium?
Byzantium, yes.
I am very far from there.
How far?
Many days' ride. Many, many. Tell me, what year is it where you are? Shh. No,
the year again. Tell me what year it is.
Everyone knows the year, voice.
Tell me.
It is the year 1187 of our Savior.
What is your name, friend?
I am Petros Alexios.
Why do you speak Kalka if you are Greek?
I am not Greek. I am by birth Kalka Mongol, but raised Christian among Christians from age 11, when my father sent me on the water and I was taken. My name was Temujin.
Temujin?
I am now 20 years, and I know the Savior. My father was Yesugai, the chieftain.
Temujin, son of Yesugai.
Mike, are you okay?
I think we've lost contact.
Right. No more downlink. It just broke off.
Good thing. Looks like your brain's shorting out.
You know, maybe that young French girl really was Joan of Arc.
What?
She was praying for the king and herself, wasn't she? I mean, anything is possible with this crazy setup.
Mike, what the hell are you trying to tell me?
That person I've been talking to on your space telephone is Genghis Khan.
In a moment, Act Two of A Sleep and a Forgetting. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Local underwriting is provided by European Sleepworks, the Berkeley store that offers individually adjusting mattresses in the European style and bedroom furniture in a variety of styles and hardwoods. More details on the web at sleepworks.com.
Over the years, many people came to Arizona to seek their fortunes, to find their freedom, or in the case of Randy Johnson, to pick up $52 million. In the case of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we came because, well, have you ever been to Chicago in late November? I'm Peter Sagal. Join us this week as we come to you from in front of a live audience in Tempe.
Michelson, this is your wake-up call. It's me.
I thought I recognized the voice. Very funny, Mike. What time is it anyway?
It's a little after 7.
Where are you?
At the Valencia.
It's a nice hotel.
From the little I've been able to see of it, yeah.
You sound tired.
Hey, come on. I must have had 3 solid hours of sleep.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, you know how Joe is. Have you heard that we're living in a 24-hour information world?
I think so. Ask Dr. Headley about these new devices called computers. Does he think they have a future, too?
Yeah, no. He believes he's living on the cutting edge, and maybe he is.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I just wish he'd realize that other people have lives and accomplishments, too.
Name 2.
People or accomplishments, darling?
People with accomplishments.
Feeling dull and tweety around all those bright young people with headsets? Don't.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Well, try harder. Remember, your old friend and his team of wireheads don't know what you know. That's why they're putting you up in a plush hotel with Spectrovision.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even sure where the television is, honey.
Take time to find it. Be who you are. Oh, you don't need to be jealous of Joe Headley, Mike. Besides, you have me. And I want you back here in one piece.
I'll try. I love you.
Love you, too. Bye, darling.
Thank you.
morning.
Hey, Mike. I don't take this personally, but you both look awful. I thought I was the one with the short night.
We pulled up the transcript of last night's session. It looks cockeyed because our computer isn't programmed for Mongol,
or Kalka, as they like to call it.
Whatever. Just tell me, if that's what you remember saying.
Well, this looks like Jabberwocky.
It's phonetic.
Oh. Yeah, well, I...
Mike, you don't look any better than we feel.
Fine, I was just hoping I dreamed all this. I guess I didn't.
No. Now, can you explain it to me?
No, I can't.
Listen, I'm not asking any fundamental existential analysis, just, I don't know, a theory maybe? What makes you think that you were talking to Genghis Khan?
All right. Well, Temujin was Genghis Khan's real name. He was born around 1167, and his father, Yesugai, was a minor chief somewhere in northeastern Mongolia. And according to history, when Temujin was still a boy, his father was poisoned by his enemies and he became a fugitive. By the time he was 15, he started putting together a confederacy of Mongol tribes, hundreds of them, and eventually he conquered everything in sight. Genghis Khan is a title that means ruler of the universe.
So what? Our Mongol lives in Constantinople, you say. He's a Christian and he uses a Greek name?
He's Temujin, son of Yesugai, and he's 20 years old when Genghis Khan was 20 years old.
Well, why can't he be some other Temujin, son of some other Yesugai?
Listen to the way he speaks. The guy is scary. Even if you can't understand a word he's saying, you can feel his power. Coiled up anger. It's the voice of a man who was capable of conquering whole continents.
But Genghis Khan wasn't a Christian. He wasn't kidnapped by strangers and taken to live in Constantinople, according to history.
I know. But maybe this one was. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the history of a different world.
But what exactly is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Forget it.
Uh-uh. You had some weirdo idea of your own.
Joe, just let me think this through.
There's a theory that on the opposite side of the sun, there's a duplicate Earth. We can't see it or detect it because our orbits are linked, and therefore the sun is always between us and the other Earth.
That doesn't explain the instantaneous transmissions.
Well, if time and space are facets of the same dimension, then just as New York exists even when you're not there, so does the 12th century. In which case, we could be speaking to our own past.
Not if Genghis Khan has a new biography.
Actually, the theory of the space-time continuum says you're wrong. And that reminds me of another theory, that there are an infinite number of universes with an infinite number of histories. By the law of averages, some of these have to be identical to our universe, and others have to be very similar. If this is true, it could be possible to crack through the space-time continuum from one to the other. Some believe these alternate universes bump into each other all the time.
Well, that is sort of what I had in mind. Say that there are all sorts of possible worlds, a world in which you're King of England, and I play third base for the Padres.
Now I know you're losing it. You're a hereditary right fielder if I ever saw one.
Joe, will you give me your scientific objectivity for a moment, okay? Now think of a world where the dinosaurs never died out and Los Angeles gets invaded every summer by hungry tyrannosaurs.
Oh,
or a world where Yesugai's son, Temujin, wound up in 12th century Byzantium as a Christian instead of founding the Mongol Empire. And that's the Temujin I've been talking to. This screwy beam of yours not only crosses timelines, it somehow crosses probability lines, too. And we've fished up some alternate reality that...
Whoa. I get the concept. I just don't know if I believe it.
I don't know if I do either. I'm just putting forth the hypothesis that might explain...
Tyrannosaurs rocking L.A.? Come on, Mike, get real. This isn't some stupid seminar. When you can shoot the breeze, this means something. This is science.
Carly, please stop the van.
Hey, what's going on?
Dr. Michelson asked me to stop the van.
Yes, I heard that.
I'm thinking if I get down to Montgomery Field by 4, I can catch the late flight to Seattle.
What? You're walking out on me?
Joe, I'm running out on you, or to be scientifically accurate, driving away from you and your obsession as fast as this little van can go.
Carly, are you in on this?
Hey, I'm just the chauffeur.
Yes, but his or mine?
Well, he does have a point.
Oh, really?
Leave her alone, Joe. Your problem is with me.
That's what I'm beginning to see.
This is Carly. Yes? Dr. Headley, apparently we're getting a carrier wave again.
Oh, beautiful. And here we sit by the side of the road.
And here we will sit a lot longer unless you find a better attitude.
Oh, you sound like my mother.
That was the idea.
Oh! All right. I'm sorry. Mike, look, I'm tired, too. I've been at this for weeks.
Okay, Carly, I guess we can go to the lab. We don't want to strain Dr. Headley any more than we have to.
All right.
Temujin, can you hear me?
I hear you, voice.
Excellent. Temujin, tell me of your world.
What do you mean?
The times. Are they good or bad?
Times are very bad, voice. Saladin's infidels have smashed our crusaders in the Holy Land. Jerusalem itself is in the hands of Muslims, and Christians everywhere mourn.
But what of Byzantium itself? Whom do you serve?
Aside from the Holy Savior himself and the Emperor, I have the honor of serving Prince Theodore Lascaris as captain of his guard. But even here in our great city, our holy city, God's grace has been withdrawn. Insurrections have brought down 2 emperors in 4 years.
And the current emperor? His name is Isaac Angelos? He is weak, is he not?
Voice, I will not say words against my emperor. He has burdens enough. The provinces of Hungary, Cyprus, Serbia, and Bulgaria are in revolt. The Sicilian Normans tear at Greece while the Seljuk Turks abominate Asia Minor. It is the time of the wolf, but the sword of the Lord will prevail.
Temujin?
Hear, voice. The kings of France and England speak of a new crusade, yet they're at war with each other. Barbarossa of Germany also promises a crusade, but he supports our enemies, and our emperor rightly doesn't want him to march his army through the provinces of Byzantium.
It is a perilous time.
All times are perilous.
What of your homeland, Temujin? What of Mongolia?
I know little of Mongolia. I left when I was a boy of 11, when traitors carried me here. My country, my father, my brothers, the girl to whom I was betrothed, they're phantoms to me now. I only speak Khalkha in the privacy of my soul. Voice?
Mike, what's wrong? I'm fine. The signal? Temujin, do you have a wife? Children?
I have vowed not to marry until Jesus again rules in his own land.
So, you're going on the next crusade?
Lots of signal.
Joe, you wouldn't have to have a bottle of scotch around here, would you?
Yeah, but it's 10 in the morning.
Yeah, well, not in the 12th century.
He could have been.
Yeah.
In some other probability.
Hey, you're not going to flip out on me again, are you?
I promise. And why the hell shouldn't I believe that we're attuned into some alternate world? It's no more goofy than the rest of this. But tell me, Is what Temujin says consistent with being Genghis Khan?
His name's the same, his age, his childhood, up to the point when he wandered into some Byzantine trading caravan and got hauled off to Constantinople. I can only imagine what kind of fight he put up. But his lifeline must have diverged completely from that point on. I mean, a whole new world line split off from ours. And in that world, instead of turning into Genghis Khan, the ruler of the world, he grew up to become Petros Alexios, captain of the guard for Prince Theodore Lascaris.
And he would have no idea what he could have been.
Well, how could he? I mean, it isn't even a dream to him. He was born into a world that wasn't destined to have a Genghis Khan. You know the poem? Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life's star, hath elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar.
We didn't study a lot of Yeats in Physics 201.
Or Wordsworth, apparently. So, when do we reacquire signal?
You're starting to sound like a real techie, Mike. We won't have a signal for another hour, maybe three. Why don't you get some rest and we'll wake you up when we reacquire.
No, I'm not sleepy anymore.
It's the booze. You're looking a little ragged to me.
Well, you don't look so fresh yourself. I'm fine. I'll sleep for a week later on. Ah, Joe, what if we can't raise Temujin again?
Anything's possible. He's already been on the line five times as long as the others put together.
Like I said, he's a determined guy.
He's Genghis Khan.
Right. So get him back. I want to talk to him some more.
Hello?
Trick or treat.
All right, treat. You're coming home this evening. You're on your way to the airport, am I right?
No, alas, not.
Then this is some cruel trick, and you must not be my husband.
Oh, baby, I wish I could.
Be my husband or come home tonight?
Oh, both. I guess one is dependent on the other.
It's not quite that bad. But another day or two, and I might start auditioning replacement husbands.
Oh, no, don't do that.
All right, not yet.
Look, this, it shouldn't take too much longer.
How do we know this?
Because we're all going to collapse from exhaustion.
You sound tired. Manic, too. It must be very important, Joe's work, which you've cleverly managed to avoid describing to me.
Someday, soon, I'm sure we can discuss it.
I'll hold you to that. Love me?
Love you.
And I'll give you a little more time to come crawling home.
Oh, thank you.
Just remember, if you're not changing the world, it can't be that important.
If you're not changing the world...
It's lovely, isn't it? The view. The way the shadows fall across the hibiscus and the bougainvillea.
Carly, you're too poetic for this kind of life.
I sneak it in where I can, Doctor.
That's not for me, all these machines. I've been standing here trying to pull in Temujin's signal by sheer willpower.
Afraid you've lost him?
Yes. And just when I thought I had some idea what made him so angry.
And what is it?
Somewhere, deep inside, he knows he's been cheated out of his destiny. That sounds very new agey.
Maybe. But your willpower machine worked. He's back.
Temujin, what would you do if I made you a prince of Byzantium?
Is this not blasphemy, voice?
No. Think of it as a game, Temujin.
Then I would fight to redeem the Holy Land. I cannot sleep as long as the infidels possess it.
Then you must redeem it yourself.
I?
Listen to me, Temujin. Think of another world far from yours. There is a Temujin in that world, too, son of Yesugai, husband to Bortai, who is daughter of Bai the Wise.
Another world? Voice, what are you saying?
Listen to me. He is a great warrior, this other Temujin. His own brothers bow before him. All Mongols everywhere bow before him. His sons are like wolves, and they ride into every land, and no one can withstand them. This Temujin is master of all Mongolia. He is the great Khan, the Genghis Khan, the ruler of the universe.
What is this to me?
He is you, Temujin. You are the Genghis Khan.
I have no sons. I have not seen Mongolia in years or even thought of it. What are you saying?
That you can be as great in your world as this other Temujin is in his.
I am Byzantine. I am Christian. Mongolia is nothing to me. Why would I want to be master of such a savage place?
You wouldn't. But the other Temujin would, for he is as savage as the place. But you are a Christian, and you have the power and commitment to put his ferocity, drive, military genius, leadership, and courage to better use.
My commitment is to serve my Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. But this power you speak of, I know not of.
Surely you have felt it within yourself.
I have felt within me a storm raging so fiercely that my body can barely contain it.
That is the power. And it will ravish, if not your body, then certainly your soul, if you do not harness it to your ambition and take firm hold of the reins.
I do not understand this word ambition, voice.
Look. Are you content with your lot?
It is with this world I am not content.
Well, let's start there. Why? What is wrong with your world?
It is full of schism and strife. It is led by brutish, evil fools who know not God, though they say they do, and who heap woe upon woe for mankind. They are not fit to carry the cross into the holy city, even if they could defeat the Muslim, which they cannot.
Why not?
The Muslim is smarter than they, and united in defense of the Holy Land. And they're too busy pillaging and robbing one another and scheming for wealth and advantage to concert upon a plan of conquest.
This is great. The signal's still holding.
Will you send soldiers to fight at my side?
That I cannot do.
You have the power to send them, I know. You speak to me out of the air. I know you're an angel or a demon, but if you are an angel, you can send me help. Send it, then. And I will lead your troops to victory. I will take the Holy Land from the infidel. I will create the empire of Jesus in the world and bring all things to fulfillment. Help me! Help me!
No, Temujin. I have done all that I can. Everything you need now is within you. You will draw soldiers to you. Your glory is yours to achieve.
Not my glory. The glory of God in the highest. He has summoned me, and I must do his work.
I can't believe you did that. The strongest, longest signal we've ever had, and you blew it.
Oh, I can't get the signal back. I can't get any signal.
No, I doubt if you'll hear from this one again.
You didn't even ask him one of the questions I had on the sheet.
We had other fish to fry.
Oh, yeah. His destiny. A lot of good that does us.
What do you think he could have told you?
Mike, you were talking to a man who built pyramids out of the skulls of his enemies.
Mm. He also built the largest empire ever developed in one man's lifetime, gave his people an order and prosperity hitherto unknown.
He was ruthless. Ruthless! How could you encourage him?
I didn't. I encouraged Temujin, the Byzantine Christian.
These aren't your love thy neighbor type Christians, Michael. They are your basic burn the blasphemer, poison your rivals, torture your prisoners, enslave the natives, droit de seigneur, oppress the peasants, rape and pillage variety.
He has a destiny to fulfill.
He had a destiny, Michael, 1,000 or so years ago. Now, what about our destiny here and now? Did you think of that?
Well, maybe you're not the only one who has a yen to change the world.
We don't even know what world you changed.
It's the moral dimension that preys on my mind.
Oh, we're going to have to start all over from scratch.
Well, without me, I'm afraid. I'm going home. I have minds to enlighten. It's too bad the Pentagon doesn't think that's important. This gizmo of yours could have inestimable value to education.
You know, I feel defeated.
Ah, humbling, isn't it? Well, I need a lift to the airport. Any volunteers?
I guess that's my job.
I'll go out with you. I need some air.
Now, if you manage to catch up with Temujin again, you guys better let me know. I'd sure like to find out how things turn out for him.
Carly, when you come back, how about you and me catching a bite?
Oh, don't you want to get started on a new plan?
Oh, it'll wait.
Well, then, sure, Joe. I'd love to.
Okay, ready to go.
Oh-wee.
Ah, beautiful day.
Hey, pretty flowers. What do you call these?
The van's gone.
They smell nice, too.
I distinctly remember parking it right here.
What about that car?
I don't remember seeing that before.
Will you look at that line? Some very smart engineer designed this for speed and power.
What's it doing here?
No idea. Look at the name on it. Foreign.
The nameplate, is that Cyrillic or what?
It's Kalka.
What?
The writing is Kalka.
Kalka? You're kidding.
No.
Can you read it?
Yes, I can read it.
Well, what does it say?
Folks, you are looking at a brand new four-door deluxe Khan Conqueror.
Wasn't that a wonderful story? I'm nuts about that story. And you've been listening to that story, A Sleep and a Forgetting, by Robert Silverberg, dramatized by Michael Cassatt and Yuri Rasovsky. And in the cast, you heard Rene Aubergenois as Mike, Caitlin Hopkins as Elaine, Alan Miller as Joe, Rosemary Alexander as Carly, and as Temujin, Robertson Dean.